Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritcha Naram Cheva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tatodayam Didirayat Nastabhrishu Vabdhrishu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Amata Sloki Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki. This Bhagavat Purana is as brilliant as the sun, and it has arisen just after the departure of Lord Sri Krishna to his own abode, accompanied by religion, knowledge, etc. Those who have lost sight due to this dark age of ignorance shall get light from this Purana. So we're reading from Canto 7, Chapter 2, Verse 49, chapter entitled Hiranyakashipu, the King of Demons. Please repeat. Ata Nityam Anityam Va. Ata Nityam Anityam Va. Neha Shochanti Tadvida. Neha Shochanti Tadvida. Nanyata Sakyate Kartum. Nanyata Sakyate Kartum. Swabhava Shochatam Iti. Swabhava Shochatam Iti. Atanityam Anityam Va. Neha Shochanti Tadvida. Nanyata Shakyate Kartum. Swabhava Shochatam Iti. Ata Nityam Anityam Va. Neha Shochanti Tadvida. Nanyata Shakyate Kartum. Swabhava Shochatam Iti. Ata Nityam Anityam Va. Neha Shochanti Tadvida. Nanyata Shakyate Kartum. Swabhava Shochatam Iti.
Thank you.
Atta. Therefore, Nityam, the eternal spirit soul. Anityam, the temporary material body. Va, or na, not. Iha, in this world. Shochanti, they lament for. Tatvida, those who are advanced in knowledge of the body and soul. Na, not. Anyata, otherwise. Shakyate, is able. Kartum, to do. Swabhavaha, the nature. Shochatam, of those prone to lamentation. Iti, thus. Translation. Those who have full knowledge of self-realization, who know very well that the spirit soul is eternal, whereas the body is perishable, are not overwhelmed by lamentation. But persons who lack knowledge of self-realization certainly lament. Therefore, it is difficult to educate a person in illusion. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. According to the Mimamsa philosophers, everything is eternal, nitya. And according to the Shankya philosophers, everything is mitya, or anitya, which is impermanent. Nonetheless, without real knowledge of Atma, the soul, such philosophers must be bewildered and must continue to lament as sudras. Srila Sukadev Goswami therefore said to Parikshit Maharaj, Shrotavyadini Rajendra Nrinam Shanti Sahasrasha Apashyatam Atma Tadvam Griheshu Griha Medinam. Translation. Those who are materially engrossed, being blind to knowledge of the ultimate truth, have many subjects for hearing in human society, O Emperor. This is from the Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto, first chapter, verse 2. For ordinary persons engaged in material activities, there are many subject matters to understand because such persons do not understand self-realization. One must therefore be educated in self-realization so that under any circumstance in life he will remain steady in his vows. A last sentence once again. One must therefore be educated in self-realization so that under any circumstances in life he will remain steady in his vows. So this is a very short purport, but the verse that Srila Prabhupada quotes in the purport, there are actually many lectures on that verse. What I saw is that about 21 lectures the Prabhupada gave specifically related to this verse, and the main point is about the Grihastha and the Grihamedi, that the Grihamedi has so many different things to talk about. Prabhupada would say in your country, when he was first in America, how there are so many thick volumes of newspapers and magazines coming out, and so many political issues and so many different journals that are there. But none of them are actually any value because they don't touch on spiritual subject matter and on the subject matter of your relationship with God. So they're basically useless. And not only that, but according to Vedic society, even the cutting of trees is considered sinful, because a tree has a lifespan to live out, and they're being cut for useless purposes. So somebody objected to Srila Prabhupada, but we are also cutting trees to print your books, Srila Prabhupada. And he says, yes, anything can be used in Krishna's service. That's a different matter, because anything can actually be used to glorify the Lord and help a person advance spiritually. There's a big difference there. Whereas in modern society, society is actually being organized by Griha-medis. So what is Medi means? Medi means envious. It actually means to be envious of others. And in these lectures the Prabhupada gave, one householder, one materialist, is envious of the other material householders. They're all envious. To the point where actually sometimes the father will even kill the son, like in the case of Hiranyakashipu's attempt to kill Prahlad, or vice versa. Sometimes a son is seeing his old father getting sick, and he's lamenting to some extent, but in some other ways, he's thinking of his inheritance. Oh, when will the old man die? And I will inherit his property. So this is this kind of enviousness that pervades this material environment that we find ourselves in. So Lord Chaitanya was trying to teach us to overcome this enviousness with a very simple verse of Trinadapi Siniche Na, that we have to learn respect for all living entities, to become more tolerant than a tree and devoid of all sense of false prestige. This false prestige is a major impediment that seems to stay its course for many, many years. So Lord Chaitanya actually is giving us a good advice as to how to overcome this false prestige, and that is to show all respect to others. Now, that's another thing hard to do, especially when we envision or think that someone is offending us or doing something that we don't like. As was mentioned the other day by Jananivas in class, how that's a big problem for us, is this "I like it," or I do it because I like it. So we have this ego that makes us think to pursue anything that we like is fine. And then if we feel somehow it's not interfering with others' happiness, then that's okay. However, with a lack of knowledge, we don't know what is good for ourselves or others. We actually don't know. We don't know. We're covered in this material world by the three modes of material nature, and there's no getting away from it. As long as we're in the material world, we're affected. This body is created according to our previous desires, and we're placed in one of the modes: ignorance, passion, or goodness. And even the mode of goodness can be very detrimental. That's why Prabhupada mentions in these lectures on this particular verse, mentioned in the purport, that from the highest planet to the lowest are all places of misery, wherein repeated birth and death take place. So the person who wants to go to the higher planet and follows the Vedic injunctions to do that is actually still very foolish. And he's not understanding that the purpose of the Vedas is to understand our relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because everywhere in the Vedas, the subject matter is to understand God or Krishna. So if we're thinking of going to the heavenly planets, or we're thinking, well, I'll live a pious life, I may not become fully conversant with my relationship with Krishna, and maybe going to heaven will be all right. This is very detrimental, because we can see in the opulent countries of the West, that living there is very detrimental. There may be some opulences, there may be an opportunity in that opulence, but mostly when you're situated in that level of opulence, we become detracted to enjoy. And that enjoyment, when it bewilders us. Enjoyment actually bewilders us. Mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, while contemplating the objects of the senses, one develops attachment, and then so many problems come. And our memory is bewildered, our intelligence is bewildered. So we have experience of that. I see that experience even from some of our Indian brahmacharis who at first say, let me go to the West to do service. And I have to admit that I was even instrumental in helping some go to the West because they said they wanted to do service. But upon going there, immediate bewilderment is there for many of them. We see. Because the allurements of material energy and the facility given in these countries is very great, and not recognizing the benefit of being living in India, or maybe recognizing it to some extent, but wanting to enhance it with material opulence, then they ask, maybe help me get a visa. So many times in the past, not so much anymore, people have come to me to ask for a visa. And I facilitated sometimes, and I feel bad about having done that. So I apologize to them for, maybe having interfered with their spiritual life. But I thought that they would do service there. I was hopeful. But the bewilderment of the material energy in Maya's attraction is very great. And it can, if it doesn't totally bewilder you for life, it may bewilder you for 20 or 30 years, and then maybe you'll come to your senses. Hopefully that happens, that we come to our senses. So how do we come to our senses? That is through, as mentioned here, this spiritual education, studying these books, studying Srila Prabhupada's purports, verses, on a regular basis. Recently, in the ILS, you know what ILS means, right? ISKCON Leader Sangha, Leadership Sangha. So there was a survey taken of the devotees to find out how much the devotees have read Srila Prabhupada's books. And the list of the books were the basic ones that Prabhupada first gave us, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, teachings of Lord Chaitanya, like that. There were about five of them. And although there were almost 1,200 devotees attending the ILS, only about 300 replied to the survey. And the average came back that the devotees had read these books once every 8 years. That was the average. Once every 8 years, if I'm not mistaken. So that's quite a low average when you think about it. Once every 8 years. So although Srila Prabhupada's purports, his message is extremely potent, that can change our lives, even, as he said, reading one chapter or even one sentence or even one word, he would say, just open the, or touch the book. He would say, when we go out to Sankirtan, get them to hold the book, touch the book. He was so desirous of helping all of humanity benefit by the knowledge in these books, that sometimes he would say, I don't know if any of you have bought Vaisheshika's book, The Family Business, and have you read it yet? So Srila Prabhupada actually, he's asking, because he was very interested in knowing what the people in general were saying when the devotees were introducing the books. What were you telling them in presenting the book? And then Srila Prabhupada had his own method of you should say, take it directly from the Bhagavatam. This Bhagavat Purana is as brilliant as the sun, and it has arisen just after. He would say like that, just straight from, and he said, this is enough to attract the interest, and they'll take. Who will not take? Of course, Srila Prabhupada is so pure that eventually everyone will take, but there's a lot of resistance out there. A lot of resistance. But I read just now on a post about book distribution in Russia. One person was working in a meat. You read? Yeah, in a slaughterhouse. And the devotees would go there and distribute some books. But in the first place, it was in English, and many of them couldn't read English, and they would just tear out the page of the book and throw it aside, maybe use it as a napkin or whatever. But this one person who worked in the slaughterhouse, he went on his break and he was covered in blood, and because your slaughterhouse means blood. So he came out and he saw a page dropped where he was having his lunch, and he picked it up and read it, and he was so impressed by what, just the one page, that he searched out where it came from, and he found out that it came from devotees distributing the books, and that one page led him to become a full-time devotee. Yeah, so the potency is very evident by stories, with stories like this. And this knowledge that we have, here we in Mayapur, we're particularly blessed by, especially those that are coming from abroad. You may not have full-time service here. You're taking the opportunity to read these books. I heard that the devotees in Mayapur, the full-time residents now, have so much service to do from early morning to late in the day that they hardly have a chance to read. So this is hopefully can be adjusted somewhat. Is that true? No, it's not true. I know previously everything seemed to shut down at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and you couldn't find anybody anymore. But these days, with so many devotees, I don't know. I heard. Anyway. So the knowledge contained here, and we're supposed to be able to learn not only from these books, but there's so many stories in the Bhagavatam that teach us that we can even learn from a dog. You know, we can learn from a crow, and we can learn from the bee, and we can learn from the ocean. Ocean? Yeah, I don't know the ocean one. So there's so much. Yeah, what is it? The bubbles in the ocean? So the ocean example is that it never changes regardless of the influence. It always stays at its designated level. So, yeah, there's so much to learn from so many different sources. But we have at our fingertips here these stories, and all of these stories are in relationship to Krishna. So now, in this whole chapter, we're learning how philosophically acute or well-versed Aranyakashipu was. I mean, he could understand he's not this body. How could he understand? He's a demon. But actually, he understood it quite well. Otherwise, how would he have been able to maintain himself? Well, the whole body was eaten by ants. He stayed within that skeleton for, 100 celestial years or some? Have you stood in an ant pile for any long? It's like, I remember one time I was in Bangalore, trying to enjoy with my family. And I lived in India, between 91 and 2001, my family, I lived basically in Mayapur for about 7 of those years. Anyway, at one point we went to Bangalore, and we were trying to enjoy, and first time ever, part of it was enjoyed, not the whole thing. So we took, I never saw an soft ice cream dispenser before in India until I went to Bangalore. That was maybe 1995 or 6. And so we bought an ice cream. And while trying to enjoy, we didn't notice all these little red ants running around. And they crawled up our legs. And on command, they somehow communicate the bite at the same time. And we screamed, and our ice creams flew in the air. So how? So definitely wasn't on the platform of understanding as Hiranyakashipu. So I have a long way to go. I don't know about you, but I have a long way to go, both to overcome this bodily concept, what to speak of the false ego. The false ego has been an interference for me since the day I joined, or the day I didn't join. What I mean by that is that in 1971, I drove, I thought, I'm always thinking full of myself, a lot of ideas of how great I am. So I went in my little Spitfire sports car to a Hare Krishna temple for a free meal, because my partner at the time, not my wife, my partner at the time, was really into free things. So she said, let's go there, they have a free meal. So I just remembered this the other day when I saw Mahatma, because Mahatma Prabhu, he was living in the Vancouver temple, leading Sankirtan parties out from there, and was involved in some of the biggest book distribution, or big book distribution for the first time in our society. And according to another devotee, Balakrishna, the big book distribution started in Canada. In any case, there's some dispute. That was almost simultaneously. So, but in a race, sometimes a horse wins by a nose, right? Any case, so I drove up thinking quite well of myself. And we stopped the car at the address where the temple was supposed to be. Was. It didn't look like any welcoming place to me. Matter of fact, the facility that was used at the time for ISKCON, Hare Krishna Temple, on the one side was a garbage dump, on the other side was a recycling yard for old metal, and just at the corner was railway tracks. And in that whole area is called the east side of Vancouver, which had a terrible reputation even in those years, and it still does today. So I just looked, and anybody who's familiar with the west coast of Canada and northwest U.S., it rains a lot. It's like rainforest. Lots of rain. I remember once, when I was young, it rained for every day for 45 days. every day there was cloud cover and rain. Different strengths of rain, but nonetheless rain. 45 days in Vancouver, Canada. Seattle in America is pretty much the same. So anyways, I just looked, and, you know, I was in my fancy car, and had a nice little mustache down to here, a bit of long hair, and had my own business already at the time, and I'm not going in there. I just didn't go in. I said, we're not going in there. You know, if the meal is anything like the surroundings here, you know. But in any case, that was unfortunate, because I would have met the devotees so much sooner. So this is where how pride interferes with our development of Krishna consciousness, isn't it? That happens in so many different ways. But here the pride, Yamaraj is coming, just a young boy, to teach the wives of and the mother of Hiranyaksha to get over the lamentation, that this lamentation, crying for the body, it's still present there. You haven't really met or understood, basically understood who the spirit soul is. You may, you know, a lot of us cry and say, Johnny has left us, you know, when they die. Or, you know, my son has left us. And it's true, he has left. But you never really met the true Johnny. You met the person who was encapsulated in a body, but some bigger thing was the false ego and the three modes of material nature, the mind and the intelligence also is not the real person. Right? So it's much more than just, you know, Johnny is gone. Because you'll never meet Johnny again, because depending upon his life's activities, that gives him a future body. And in that future body, he'll be again governed by the three modes of material nature, and the false ego will be there. But we don't know. It's like Prabhupada mentioned that, he said, somebody here said that one of the big leaders of India took birth again as a dog in Sweden. A gentleman in Sweden has two dogs, and one of them used to be a big political leader in India. So we don't know. We don't know what our future is. And we have to actually look beyond. Of course, we have a certain amount of safety factor, right? Being devotees, chanting Hare Krishna, all that. But we also hear of stories of Chitraketu and other devotees. It's actually a very advanced devotee, extremely advanced. But because he his reaction to Shiva and Parvati was misunderstood by Parvati. But she cursed him. She cursed him. She thought he was laughing at Parvati and Shiva together while talking to the assembled sages. She misunderstood that and cursed him to take birth in a demoniac family. But although he had all the spiritual ability to counteract that curse or not accept it, he said, fine, no problem. And he took birth as Vitrasura. But even in that body, although in a demoniac situation, he was extremely advanced spiritually. So there are some question marks about our future. There's a lot of opportunity to quickly go back home to Godhead. But Srila Prabhupada many times also says that, you know, this is a very dangerous place in this material world. And we're still here. I mean, in Mayapur we can say we're in the spiritual world. But, okay, I should forget that, but we are in the spiritual world. by Lord Chaitanya's mercy. We need to pray to Lord Nityananda to overcome any or to get rid of any of the baggage that we have left, this excess baggage that we're hanging on to, right? What is it? What's the only thing that we can hang on to that brings us into the spiritual world? It's a question. Anybody want to offer their answer? Yes. Yeah, to let go. But what is the one piece that we're allowed to carry with us into the spiritual world? Yes? Yeah, holy name. Harinam. Harinam, 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 Eva Kevalam. There's no other. The holy name is the only thing. It actually carries us into the spiritual world. Instead of it being our luggage, it's carrying us into the spiritual world. The holy name carries us back home to Godhead. So, anyway, we'll stop here. Thank you very much. And I was very nervous about speaking in front of a lot of advanced devotees in Mayapur. This is the first time I've given class in Mayapur. I'm quite used to giving classes in preaching centers where we have two or three devotees, but to give an assembly like this, who are all benedicted by Lord Chaitanya to come and live here, and so knowledgeable, that I was going to call in sick, but I thought, oh, I would take the opportunity since I was asked to give a class. So thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
The first time in 1971, you went to Vancouver Temple. At that time, you could not go inside a temple. But later, how you joined ISKCON?
Well, I actually, when I was young, I was studying to be a Catholic priest. And I didn't last very long when I realized I should get married. Because of that training in the Catholic Church, anybody who seriously follows the teachings there, there's a lot of talk about penance and austerities. And there are famous stories of Jesus Christ 40 days before he was killed. He fasted for 40 days and nights, didn't eat and all that. So in Catholicism, in the Catholic Church, there's a lot of emphasis on that, especially years ago, maybe not so much now, but then when I was younger. And so I, although I didn't pursue that studies, when I got to be about 23, I started fasting, you know, praying, believing. I believed there was a God, and I believed in some different things, but I didn't know. I said, whoever's God, you know, whoever God is, please, you help me find a teacher. I don't particularly care what flag, what religion they're professing. I need a spiritual teacher. So I left my current situation and went to Montreal. Well, Montreal is a very, I like Montreal a lot. Montreal is French-Canadian, and it's a very nice city to fall into Maya in a big way. So as soon as I got to Montreal, I thought, I'm a young man, let me enjoy. Just like if you go from here to America. So we're influenced like this. Any case, when I arrived in Montreal, I went to the university grounds of McGill University, where all the young people used to sit around in the summer on the lawn, And I asked them, is there any place for inexpensive rooms to rent? Because I'm looking for a place to stay. So they said, yeah, if you go over here. They pointed. So I followed and saw a building, went inside, and rented a room. Then when I opened my window across the street, it was a Hare Krishna temple. And I had seen devotees in Vancouver. Vancouver is 4,500 kilometers from Montreal. Canada's a very big city, 7,000 kilometers from one side to the other. In any case, so I still didn't go. And then a boy who had a room next to me, he said, hey, they had free feasts on Sunday. And I had already thought, no, in the morning, I'm going to go see a Catholic priest and talk about spiritual or religious life. But as it was, I slept through that morning and the boy knocked on my door and said, why don't we go for that free meal? And I went with him. And talking with a devotee there, I didn't like the prasadam, actually. I was very peculiar as to my eating habits. And I didn't care for the cooking. But a devotee named Dharmaraj, he was visiting from the U.S. He'd been in Canada for a while. And he started talking to me. And it was so engrossing that it was like, for me, it was like, you know, 1,000 pieces of a puzzle were falling together, boom, 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 and the whole picture was all explained within a few hours of talking to him. And then he got tired. Everyone else had left the building. The building, our temple there, was a bowling alley. Do you know what a bowling alley is? Anyway, our rooms were created by curtains. Just curtains. This is a curtain for the ladies' side, for the men's side, for the temple room, and it was a bowling alley. So next day I went back and I wanted to hear more, but there was a sign on the door that said open Sundays, Wednesdays, Fridays, something like 3 days a week. That was quite common with a lot of temples. And so I thought, oh, I have to wait till Wednesday. So then I went back Wednesday, and it was middle of the day, and one Mataji named Urvashi, the wife of Sripati, the temple president, she was alone in the temple singing, Bhaja Bhakata Vatsala Shri Gaur Hari. And the whole scene added so much to the mystique. I'd heard the philosophy, and then the mystique. I asked after that, when the devotees came back from Sankirtan, I asked if I could spend the night. And I couldn't look at Lord Jagannath, you know, because in Christianity they say, thou shalt not have any craven images before you, right? So I couldn't look at Lord Jagannath. So I closed my eyes and said, okay, I'm going to look. Just going to listen. But I asked if I could spend the night. I wanted to find out if they would cheat me, because it's easy to cheat somebody for one night, you know. But they didn't cheat in any way. The next night again, thought, that's easy one night. Let me stay another night. Anyway, that's 4 years ago. And that was in June of 1972, and a month later we all went to New York and met Srila Prabhupada at the New York airport when he came, and he spent a few days there, July the 4th celebrations, the American Independence Day. And then I met Srila Prabhupada there. So something. And of course, Hare Krishna. So.
Please share your first impression with Prabhupada, when you first saw Prabhupada, how you feel at that time?
Well, I think If you ask any of Prabhupada's disciples here, they'll tell you a very similar story. Because every time I read about the first meeting of devotees with Srila Prabhupada, the story is very similar. That my meeting with him in the assembly of devotees at the airport was a lot of devotees in the West are my height, so here I can look over most Bengalis, right? Because they're smaller. But in America, everybody's my height or taller. So I had to jump up and down to look Prabhupada, who was sitting on a slightly raised seat at the airport giving an interview. But when I saw Srila Prabhupada and he made contact with my eyes, his eye contact was extremely penetrating. And all of a sudden I realized I was just a mouse. And I was way down. Yeah, there's not much more to say about that first meeting. Hare Krishna. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Ramanuja Acharya ki jai.